pray for peace and plead for grace. We bow our knees in humbleness. We cry to God to heal our land, forgive our sins and cleanse our hands. In God we trust, in God alone. We put our faith in Him who sits on heaven's throne. Though men of earth will rise and fall, our only hope is in the Lord of all. In God we trust, in God alone. Oh, let us rest in God's control and honor those He put in power. For hearts of kings are in His hand. The nations turn at His command. Protect the weak, establish law. Honor the right, punish the wrong. Let this be true of those who lead. O men of faith, now intercede.
Now intercede.
In God we trust.
In God we trust.
In God alone.
In God alone.
We put our faith in Him who sits on heaven's throne.
Persecution soon will come. Help me to stand if all alone. And though my life He may call forth, God's kingdom is not on this earth.
In God we trust, in God alone. Sits on heaven's throne. Though men of earth will rise and fall, our only hope is in the Lord of all. In God we trust, in God alone. Amen.
Thank you, men. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what a great sight to behold today, to see all of the men and women scattered across this platform. Thank you for your diligence, your duty, your sacrifice, for allowing us to have the freedom that we enjoy today. I have never served in the military, but I thank God for those that have. I would, if the time was given and if that opportunity would arise. But I thank God for the servicemen and women who give us our country today as we have it and enjoy it. Let's take the Word of God this morning and let's go to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13, in just a moment, I want us to begin in verse number 1. And we will read down to verse number 4. And then I will have you to turn some different places today. But I want to preach, Joan, this subject. We need good soldiers. We need good soldiers. Now, I believe that represented here today were and are good soldiers. I know that some of these men and women are in active duty today. But they're good soldiers. But there are qualifications to be a good soldier in the Army or whatever branch of military service. But there's also qualifications to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And today, as we talk about our military service, and I do want to explain to you why our God does love the veteran, and He does love those that actively serve. Folks, we live in a sin-cursed world. And because men are sinners, men must be protected from other men. I don't think anybody enjoys war. But war is sometimes the necessity of nations. Folks, I want you to know this. If there were not wars from America, we would not have the freedom that we have it today. We would not have the freedom to assemble here on this Sunday morning and to worship God together. We would not have the freedom of speech. We would not have the freedom to vote. We would not have the freedom. The soldier paid the price for our freedom. In fact, it is the soldier who gave us the freedom of religion. It is the soldier who gave us the freedom of the press. It is the soldier who gave us freedom of speech. It's the soldier who gave us freedom to assemble. It is the soldier who gave us the right to a fair trial. And it is the soldier who has given us the right to vote. Folks, today, without what we represented here today, we would not have the freedom that we enjoy here in America. I know that America has many problems, but it is still the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I thank God to be an American. I don't know about you, but today it's an emotional day, I think, for all of us. As we see the pictures, we see the tears, we see the sacrifice. I can enjoy being a pastor and preaching at a church and knowing that I can serve the Lord freely because of the soldier. But today, we need good soldiers. You may not be a soldier as far as in the military ranks, but God has called every one of us who named the name of Jesus Christ to be a good soldier in the Lord's army. Let's begin in Romans chapter 13, and let's begin in verse number 1, if you would please. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Now, I bring you to Romans chapter 13, and I bring you specifically to verse number 4, because can I tell you what God calls the veteran, or what God calls the soldier? He calls him the minister of God. Many people might say of me as the pastor, the preacher, they might say, "You're a minister of God." And that would be accurate. But God calls those who serve and those who have to execute wrath upon those that do evil the ministers of God. Folks, the police officer is the minister of God. The judge is the minister of God. They are there to execute wrath. We understand that not all of the ministers of God, including preachers, are perfect. We understand that leaders make mistakes, and we understand that leaders are not always just and fair. But may I help you to understand today that God is for the soldier because he is the minister of God. Sometimes there is discussions that go on about whether or not war is right, and war is right in the eyes of God, because the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." But folks, can I help you to understand today that "thou shalt not kill" is a violation in God's eyes of murder. You see, murder and killing is much different. We understand that when someone takes the life of an innocent person out of hatred or out of vengeance, that is murder in the eyes of God. But what the American soldier has done, yes, they've had to kill. They've had to take the lives of people, but they have done it because they are the ministers of God executing wrath, and they are fulfilling a God-ordained role. Now, folks, the soldier, he fights for our liberty. Folks, our liberty was purchased by the blood of American patriots. We would not have the freedom of America. We would not have the freedoms that we enjoy today were it not for the shed blood of an American patriot. The soldier fulfills a God-ordained role. Folks, they are formed to protect and to guard the freedom of a nation. If we were to do away with the police officer in our counties and in our cities today, and we have seen a little bit of that taking place, what do we see? Violence. What do we see? We see anarchy. What do we see? We see innocent lives being taken and properties being stolen. Folks, we need them because they are the ministers of God. They fulfill a God-ordained role. Today, we do honor the countless number of men and women who have served our nation through their military service. But what does God have to say about going to war? By the way, the European nations of the world have entered into over 8,000 treaties of peace in their history. Every one of them was intended to be permanent, but not one of them lasted for more than 2 years. In fact, there have been 14,000 wars in the last 5,000 years of human history. Why is there war? Because the hearts of man is sinful and evil before God. You know something, I'm looking forward, and I would love to be a part of a warless world, but I want you to know something. This world that we live here upon will never be without war until the day that Jesus Christ comes and reigns in perfect peace. There will continually be wars. And God has instituted that nations are to have what we call, as the Bible says, the ministers of God, servicemen and women who fight for the freedom of a nation. By the way, people in the military service are called to serve and carry out what they have been trained to do. They are going at the bidding of their country. Folks, we have sent many men and women across seas to fight for liberty. We have sent many men and women at the bidding of this country. Can I tell you what they are doing? They are acting in accordance with the Word of God. They are ministers of God. Are lives taken? Yes. But it is not murder in the eyes of God. Sometimes are innocent lives taken? Yes. Those are the understood casualties of a war. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 22, because I want to lay a little groundwork here as we talk about what does God have to say about going to war. I grew up in a home where my dad taught me to honor our military. My dad told me that they were the heroes. And by the way, I know you may love football and basketball and all of that and all for that. But can I tell you who was assembled before me today and you? Those are the heroes of the America people. Not someone that can score a touchdown or make a basket. Nothing wrong with that. But folks, these are the real heroes of our land today. We are the land of the free because of the brave. These were the brave. These were the courageous. But is God for nations at times going to war? Yes. In fact, all throughout the Bible, we find people going to war. In fact, God instituted even for His own people to have wars. Sometimes it was to execute His judgment upon another nation. But may I tell you, often it was for freedom. We look in Luke chapter number 22, and I want us to begin in verse number 35. And notice what the Bible says here. Luke 22 and verse 35. Now, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and He is talking to His disciples as they go out. And notice what He tells them. Luke 22 verse 35. And He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Verse 36. Then said He unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Now look in verse number 36. Here the Lord Jesus tells his disciples, before, when I was here with you, he said, I sent you without a wallet per se. I sent you without money. I sent you without any form of self-defense. He said, but now it is different. He said, now take your wallet. Now take your scrip. And he said, take your sword. In fact, even the Bible says, let him, if he didn't have a sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Ladies, that is a good verse if your husband wants to buy a new gun. All right, that right there, all right? Just kind of put that in there. And when you study the Greek, you find that in there, all right? I'm just kidding, all right? The only problem I'm having with is that where it says buy one, all right? I'm just having a, I guess that's one at a time, all right? So, you know, one every day, one every week, I don't know, you know? But the Bible here institutes and advocates self-defense. He advocates that we must protect ourselves. And may I tell you, the police officer and the military service, they protect the innocent lives of the American people. They are a God-ordained role. And yes, it is the necessity of nations to go to war at times. There are times that we must go to war. And we find examples of this throughout the Word of God. It is not murder to protect and to defend the liberties and the rights of people. By the way, I believe that it is my freedom and it is my privilege and my responsibility to protect my family. If someone were to come into my home to hurt me or my family, it is my right and my responsibility before God to defend them, even if it means their life is taken. It is not murder in the eyes of God. It is the principle of Luke 22 that if he does not have a sword, go and buy one. You see, going to war is a necessity in defending the freedoms that we enjoy today. We will continue to be in war in America, and we should support our armed forces and our armed troops. Folks, there is a time for nations to rise up out of necessity and go to war. It is a moral duty before God. No, it is not something that we enjoy. It is a demand that is placed upon nations from time to time. Yes, do I want to live in a warless world? Yes. And I know that you desire that, but folks, peace will never come here on this face of the earth until Jesus Christ comes and reigns one day. Now, let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Timothy, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we notice that Paul is writing to his son in the faith. Now, I want you to know that the writing of 2 Timothy is that this is a prison epistle. Paul is in prison writing this. In fact, did you know that back in Philippians chapter 2, when Paul was addressing Epaphroditus, he called him a fellow soldier. Now, we do not know that Epaphroditus was in a military service, but he was definitely in the service of the Lord. In Philemon, verse number 2, Paul also referred to Archippus as a fellow soldier. Now, we thank God for our military, and we honor them today, and we lift them up because they are the heroes of our land. But let us bring now this message to all of us that we need good soldiers. Do you know if you name the name of Jesus Christ today, you are to be an active soldier in the Lord's army. Amen. We are in a battle. We are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare today. Listen, the devil is our enemy, not one another, but the devil is our enemy. And folks, we must be actively prepared and ready to do battle day by day. Now, let me say this in the very beginning. I liked the video that shown as those men and women were doing the oath of office. It's very moving to me to hear them. And they took that seriously. And I know that every man and woman that was a service person, you took that serious as well. And the only way that you can become a service member was that you had to take that oath of office. And can I say this to you today? The only way that you can become a part of the Lord's army is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I must begin this morning by saying this, that folks, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you may be a good soldier here on earth, but you will die and spend an eternity without Jesus Christ in a place called hell. You see, some people may think, well, I served our country. Does God not look upon that with great joy? Yes, He does, but it is not enough to earn your way into heaven. You may have given your life sacrificially for the lives of countless others, but until you accept Jesus, the one who gave His life for every single person in order for them to go to heaven, you will never know assurance in heaven today. Right. Folks, I beg of you and I plead with you, if you're here today and maybe you came for this special service, we're so glad to have you. But today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, please let us take God's word and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and heaven is your home. We come to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want us to begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Years ago, I remember the story of a man who was coming out of church one day, and as he was passing by, as the pastor and his wife used to do, he would come by the pastor and shake the pastor's hand. And on that special day, in fact, it was Christmas Day or Christmas Sunday, as he shook the pastor's hand, the pastor pulled him to the side and he said this. He said, "Sir, you really need to be in the Lord's army." The man looked at the pastor and said, "Well, Pastor, I am in the Lord's army." And he said, "Well, sir, how come you only come to church on Christmas and Easter?" He got real close to the pastor and he whispered and he said, "Because I'm in the Secret Service, you know." Well, let me share with you today that God does not need Secret Service Christians, you know. God needs Christians who are actively serving in the Lord's army. I'm glad to see many of our military people that have maybe their uniforms on today. I love it. I love to see it. And when I see a military service member, I always say to them, "Thank you for your service." When I see a police officer in their uniform, I say, "Thank you for your service." You know why? Because they deserve that gratitude. They deserve our honor. They deserve our respect that we should give them, and rightly so, because they are fulfilling a God-ordained role. But child of God, with the day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you were enlisted in God's army. You really didn't have any choice. You were enlisted in the army of the Lord, and Christians today are in a spiritual warfare. The devil, the world, and the flesh are real enemies. And these spiritual enemies are out to destroy our testimony and our effectiveness as believers. They want to hinder our effectiveness to tell others of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, today I want to encourage you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does it take to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Number one, I want you to notice in our passage that a good soldier is a follower of his captain. We notice back in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," verse 2, "and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know something, a man who is a faithful man is a man who has learned to be a follower. A follower of Jesus Christ. Folks, today, all of us are following someone. Are you following Jesus? And by the way, in order to follow someone, you have to listen to them. You know, in fact, I remember years ago when I ran cross country, when I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I was in high school. I remember we had a meeting at the cross country meet, and they told us where to go, and they even showed us where to go. But you know what I was doing the whole time? I was goofing off. I was not paying attention. And guess what? When the race went on, guess what? I got lost at the cross-country race. I wasn't paying attention. I was not listening very well. Folks, a good soldier is one who follows his captain. I think all of these servicemen and women would understand that when maybe they were in boot camp and basic training and all of that, they were taught to listen. They were taught to obey orders. In fact, they were not a good soldier if they did not obey orders. Well, the same is true in our Christian lives. Folks, if we are not listening to God through the preaching of His Word and the reading of His Word, and if we are not obeying His commands, we are not a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier listens, and a good soldier follows. By the way, do you know that for a soldier to refuse to follow orders is treason? But folks, may I remind you that us as God's people, as a Christian soldier, for us to refuse to follow God, to obey His commands, is treason in the eyes of the Lord. You see, a good soldier follows the Lord. He does what God wants him to do with his life and with his body and with his eyes and with his ears. He does what God wants him to do with his family. He does what God wants him to do with his church attendance and his obedience to the Word of God. He follows the Lord. Can I ask you something this morning? Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Do you follow your captain? In fact, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, that He is the captain of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our captain. Are we following after Him? Do you know that I'm not here on earth to figure out what I want to do with my life? I am here to know God and to follow Him. I'm here to make Him known. I am here to obey His every order for my life. You know, God didn't put us here and say, well, figure out what you want to do with your life. No, we are here to be faithful, obedient to our captain. In fact, John chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know something, there is something very orderly about seeing soldiers that are following their leader. By the way, that is only how wars are won, by following the leader. There is safety in following the leader. Could you imagine, let's say that a troop went out to do battle, but every man did what was right in his own eyes? Every man did what he thought was best to do? No, that soldier has to follow the captain. That soldier has to wait for orders. That soldier has to do what only the captain tells him to do. But folks, today, a good soldier of Jesus Christ follows his captain. Amen. In fact, folks, in order to hear his voice, you must be walking close to him. You know, I'm reminded of 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. I think it's a sad statement in the Word of God where Elijah and the prophets of Baal were almost in a time of competition. And Elijah said, if Baal be God, then follow him. But if God is God, then follow him. And you know the story where Baal, the prophets of Baal, were trying to call fire down from heaven. And Elijah waited until they were done trying. And then when he prayed, the fire fell down from heaven. But I want you to notice what Elijah said unto the people. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. And if Baal, then follow him. And I want you to remember what the people said. And the Bible says, and the people answered him not a word. Do you know today that we will either follow the Lord or we are not going to follow the Lord? There is no middle ground. Either you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ and you are seeking not to follow man's opinion or to follow your own heart's desire, but we are seeking to follow the Lord. We read His Word. We listen to the preaching of God's Word to follow the Lord. A good soldier follows his captain. Number two, a good soldier is faithful during hardships. Look back in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want you to see something. The Bible says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness or hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I know it's deer hunting season right now, and I'm not going to ask if you're a deer hunter. I enjoy it. Try to do it with my boys and all of that. One day I asked my wife, I said, honey, why don't you go deer hunting with us, you know? Now you're laughing because you understand, you know? You know what she said to me? She said, well, is it going to be warm? I said, no, it's cold. It's deer season. And her idea of going deer hunting is maybe with coffee, Hallmark, or something like that, you know, the whole time. I'm like, honey, it doesn't work that way, you know? You just sit there and you freeze half to death. You're waiting. And my wife doesn't want to do that, all right? I think, how many men understand what I'm talking about there, all right? And maybe it's best that they don't go deer hunting, all right? Maybe, all right? But you know, the truth of the matter is, in anything in life that is worthwhile is going to pay a price. Ladies, I'm sure that childbirth, I only understand just by knowing my wife giving birth to our three children, the hardship, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, all of that that is gone through. But when that mother holds that little baby in her arms, she forgets about all of the hardship. You know something, these soldiers who serve, they go through boot camp. Boot camp is not easy. Boot camp is not something that is meant to be easy. It is hardship. It is difficult. It is preparing them for the battle. It is preparing them for the hardship of war. But a good soldier endures through the hardships. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He doesn't say, I don't want anything to do with this. This is not my ideal of being a soldier. But in the same sense of the Christian life, we must understand that a good soldier is faithful during the times of trial and the hardships of life. Amen. I am thankful for everyone that comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm thankful for people that I've had the privilege to be able to lead to the Lord. But I think what is the most discouraging thing to me is to see people who come to know Christ as their Savior. They get into church. They're faithfully serving the Lord. They're doing what God wants them to do. But then hardships come, and they will always come. And you know what they do? They stop following Christ. They get out of church. This is not what I thought this was going to be. In fact, I had a man tell me years ago, he said, Pastor, before I got saved, life was pretty good and life was easy. But now that I've come to know Christ, I am dealing with hardships like never before. Well, welcome to the army of the Lord. You see, God's army means that we are expecting hardships. You take these servicemen and women today. They expected things to be hard. We had some, in fact, Paul Carey, he was a prisoner of war for many years. You know something? He dealt with hardships. He went through what none of us could ever imagine. But folks, can I tell you something? They expected the hardship to come. They expected that they might lose their life. They expected pain. They expected sorrow and suffering. And here Paul tells Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what we want? We want the easy path, and I do too. We want the easy road, and I do too. We want the crossless Christianity. We want a life without bearing the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what we want as a Christian. But to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must follow the captain, and we must be faithful during hardships. In fact, this word to endure hardness means to suffer evil. It means to suffer trouble. It means to endure affliction. In fact, do you know that the very writing of 2 Timothy is that Paul is chained to a Roman soldier? Paul is soon going to be executed. He is soon going to be put to death. Paul understood something about hardships in life. Folks, in fact, the Roman soldiers of Paul's day were the toughest, the most disciplined, and the most efficient soldiers on the face of the earth at that time. When Paul was giving this, he said, you see this soldier here? You see the hardship? You see the sorrow, the pain? You see the discipline that he has? That is what God wants of you. Folks, today, may we be a good soldier and that we are faithful during the hardships. You know something, I think all of us at times in our Christian lives, we have been tempted to quit, to throw in the towel per se, to be done. My dad grew up in an unsaved home, and my dad believed the Lord called him to preach when he was just a young man. But he did not have any training. He didn't have a home. He really didn't have a church where he could learn and grow. And my dad became a pastor at a very early age. I think he was 18 or 19 years of age. And my dad told me, he said, son, it was rough. And he went to became a pastor of a church where they voted on the preacher every single year, a vote of confidence. I'm glad my church doesn't do that, all right? But they did that. And of course, my dad one year got voted out of church. You know something he told me? He said, son, there was times when I said, that's it, I'm done. If this is how the preacher's treated, if this is how things are, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm over. But then he said to me, God reminded me that I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. It's not easy. It's hardships. It is that we are to endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, the devil is our enemy. He is working against what we are seeking to do as God's people and seeking to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is hardships to endure. Listen, don't quit in the midst of the battle. Don't give in. The devil will get the victory. May God help us to endure hardness as a good soldier. Listen, the good soldier realizes that there will be troubles along the way, but he is not to be deterred by them. The Christian soldier understands that pain is often part of our experience as God's soldier. In fact, John 16, verse 33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know something, I'm sure that many Christians think, well, man, now that I'm saved and now that I know the Lord, life should be easy. Life should be perfect and there should be no trouble and no hardships in life. But folks, God never intended for us to believe that life would be perfect. And life would be without any trials or sorrow. We need to expect the hardships to come. Keep your eyes on the captain and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, a preacher of years gone by said this. He said, "The church is always just one generation short of extinction. If our generation fails to guard the truth and entrust it to our children, then that will be the end. When you think of the saints and martyrs who suffered and died so that we might have God's word, it makes you want to take your place in God's army and be faithful unto death." Folks, do you know that there have been Christians before you and me that have suffered like none of us have ever suffered? They endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But may I tell you, they were rewarded by the Lord. Number three, we come to, not only is a good soldier follows his captain. A good soldier is faithful during hardships. But number three, and lastly, a good soldier finishes his course. Now, I believe with all my heart that God has a course for every one of us. He has a race for you to run. You know something, when I think about a soldier needs to finish what he has started. He needs to finish whatever if he's on the battlefield, finish the war. Stay true to the end. Could you imagine on a battlefield if soldiers were out there fighting and all of a sudden some soldier said, "I'm done, I'm finished, I'm done," and they left? Listen, we would call them AWOL. We would call them cowards almost in a sense. But what are we as God's people that we do not finish the course that God has for us? I prayed with my son last night late as we were getting everybody in bed and all of that. And we prayed together. And I told my son, I know he's sitting here and I'm not trying to embarrass him, but I said, son, God has a plan for your life. God has created you for a purpose. But folks, can I tell you something? Every one of us, we are created for a purpose by God. God has a course for us to run. I can't run your course and you cannot run my course. Listen, we should not compare ourselves with one another because God has created us all uniquely different and He has given us a different course to run. But folks, will you finish what God has given you to do. Some of us have not even started the course. Some of us are running from the course. We're running from what God has for us. A military man, he has a war to fight. He has a battle to win. And he will not stop until the war is over and he has completed his course. In fact, Paul said later on in chapter 4, would you turn there, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want you to notice what Paul said. We come to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. Paul has come to the end of his course and he says this, 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Let me stop and say this. Paul was not bragging. Paul was not saying, I've done a good job. No, Paul was saying, the fight that I've been in is a worthy fight. It's good. Can I tell you something, child of God? The battle we are in, it's a worthy battle. It's a battle for the souls of men. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Folks, there is coming a day when every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God today, then you will stand before the Lord. And if you have been a faithful soldier, He will reward you for your faithfulness unto Him. In fact, can I tell you something? All I want in life is to be able to hear the Lord look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Do you know what a soldier wants? He wants to please his commanding officer. That's what he wants to do. In fact, back in 2 Timothy, we've seen in this chapter that Paul also talked about in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. He said in verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you know that a man or a woman in military service, there are certain things that they can and cannot do because they are in active duty. There are certain places maybe they cannot go because they are in active duty. And you know something? It does not bother them. It does not discourage them to know, I cannot do certain things. I cannot entangle myself with the affairs of this life that I may please Him who had chosen me to be a soldier. Folks, today, if you're a child of God here this morning, you will stand before the Lord. Do you want the heavenly reward? By the way, the reward is not to prance around heaven and to bring glory to ourselves. Oh, no. That reward, that crown, is to lay at our Savior's feet. Amen. Today, I want to be able to hear my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. By the way, the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. So how are we made good in the eyes of God? Well, the only way that we are made righteous is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Amen. Listen, I'm thankful for the men and women who have served our country. And I respect you. Listen, I am moved by your faithfulness and by your sacrifice and diligence. And we honor you today. But I do want to say this to you. You may have served our country, but if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend an eternity in a Christless hell. I want to say this to you in closing. I think that these servicemen and women know what it is for people to give their lives for our country. Listen, this country was founded and this country continues to be free because of the blood of the American patriot. But can I tell you this today? You and me who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we only have freedom because of our heavenly Savior who is willing to go to the cross and to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind. It takes the sacrifice of our armed forces to give us freedom of religion and freedom of press and freedom that we enjoy today. But it took the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ to give us freedom from the penalty of our sin debt in hell. Amen. Listen, there is no way that you can be good without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, I pray that you know Christ as your Savior. Folks, you understand that God loves you here today. You are loved by God. I pray that all of the military people sense the love of Grace Baptist Church to you and our thanksgiving to you, because that is how we feel. But there is someone who loves you even more, and that is God Himself, who said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I have two sons. I thank God for them. But I'm going to tell you something. I would not give my two sons for anyone. I'm sorry, I wouldn't do it. But God loved you enough that He was willing to sacrifice His only begotten Son for you so that you could know freedom. Listen, but the problem is we're all sinners. Why are wars fought? Because men are sinners. And why did Jesus have to go to the cross and bleed and die for the sins of all mankind? Because we are sinners, and our sin separates us from God. There is nothing good that we could ever do. Years ago, I talked to a man who had been in the military for many years. And I asked him if he knew Jesus as his Savior. And he said, "Son, look, I've served our country. I'm sure that God is going to let me into heaven." Listen, I appreciate the sincerity of the man, and I thank God for his sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of God. Today you must know that, yes, you're a sinner, and your sin has separated from you from God. But I'm thankful to tell you today that Jesus Christ went to the cross, and He bled and died for the sins of all mankind so that every person could know freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, today, if you're here without the Savior, you know what it takes? It takes for you to humble yourself and to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. It takes for you to acknowledge that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself, and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, then I want to ask you and invite you to accept Jesus Christ and enter into the Lord's army. But child of God, if you're here today, and maybe you're not in active service, maybe you're not following your captain, and you are not being faithful during the hardships of life, then I want to encourage you to finish the course that God has given you. We need good soldiers. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I want you to listen to me very closely this morning. This is the most important time of the service. Today, maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know, Pastor, that if I died today, I know that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord because I've already accepted Him." If you know that today and it's a testimony, no one is looking around, but would you lift your hand and hold it up high? "Pastor, I am a child of God and I know the Lord is my Savior." Thank you. You may put your hands down. But today, maybe you were not able to raise your hand. I will not embarrass you. I'll not come to you or call you out. And no one is looking except the Lord and me. I just want to pray for you. But how many would say today, "Pastor, I do not know the Lord as my Savior. Preacher, I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Would you pray for me?" That's all I'm asking you, to be honest, and to allow me to pray for you. If that's you this morning, "Pastor, I don't know where I'd go if I died. Would you pray for me?" Would you lift your hand and hold it up high at this time? "Pastor, would you pray for me?" Amen. Thank you. Who else? Preacher, pray for me this morning. "I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me." Can I encourage you, if you raised your hand this morning, that there is a God in heaven who loves you. And by the way, He brought you here today on purpose. It's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that you're a part of this service. And right now, sitting in your seat, I want to invite you and encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I'd like to help you in just a moment. Maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You may have raised your hand and maybe you did not raise your hand. But today, don't leave this service. We do not have any promise of tomorrow. And one day, you will come to the day of death like everybody else. Right now, God has dealt with you, and you know that you need Jesus as your Savior. Right now, would you put your faith and trust in Him? I'd like to help you in just a moment. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right now, you can call on the name of the Lord, and He's promised to save you and give you a home in heaven. Right now, I'd like to help you pray. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can simply pray this prayer silently in your heart to God, and God will hear you, and He will forgive you, and He will give you a home in heaven. Right now, if you don't know the Lord, would you pray this with me in your heart silently to the Lord? The prayer goes something like this. Would you pray this to the Lord now? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Help me live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just another moment? I make you a promise. I'll not embarrass you. But how many today would say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer with you today for the first time, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Would you just pray for me?" Would you lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer with you this morning, and I asked the Lord to be my Savior." Amen. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask you, child of God, if God has spoken to your heart, and you know that you need to get things right with your heavenly commander, and maybe today you're dealing with things and you just want to be faithful, come this morning. Let the Lord have His way. But if you did put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you in a moment to leave your seat and come, and let us know, and let us be able to take the Bible, and let us help you in your faith in Christ. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I pray that You would bless us today in this invitation. Lord, help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your love and mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 611. Take my life and let it be. Today, if God has dealt with you, leave your seat and come. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord, come and let us know. And we'll help you. Just come right up here. And if you're a lady, we'll have a lady help you. If you're a man, we'll have another man. But let's be faithful to God. Hymn number 611 as Brother Stevenson comes.
excited for today, and of course last Sunday we had four baptisms here at the church, and then this Sunday, this is Alex, and Alex was saved recently at our War of Special Forces with the teenagers, and Alex attended that. His family is here today. We're so thankful. This is a fine young man. This is Alex Words. Alex, upon your profession of faith in Christ, and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Now, usually my wife and I like to greet all of the visitors as they leave and everybody, but today we do something a little different. We're going to have all of our veterans. If you were up here before, we're going to bring you up here again. And I'll have Brother Stevenson help me out here, and we'll get you lined up here. And then, folks, I would like to ask you, I know you may have to leave, and that's perfectly understandable, but I'd like for you to come by and shake their hand and thank them for their service to our country and to our God. Now, you won't be able to take long to share war stories, okay? All right? We don't have time for that. But if you want to come through and just shake their hand, and we'll get them lined up here. So let's go ahead and get all of our veterans and those that are actively serving. Would you come on up at this time? All right? We'll get them lined up here. And I'm so thankful for these men and women. What a great blessing they are. And we're thankful to have you. We do this one time a year when we get them up here, and this is wonderful. Now, we'll probably need some music for this, Miss Victoria there, all right? And this is great. We'll get them all lined up here, and guys, if you can help me out, we may have to get them even working around there. That'd be good. All right, fantastic. All righty, very good. Instead of having to wait on me, I'm going to have you go ahead and stand. Would you stand with me, please? And let's have a word of prayer together. Thank you so much for being a part of this day. And now, if you are visiting here this morning, my wife and I will be looking for you just to shake your hand and to thank you so much. But today, I want you to come by and shake their hands and thank them. And I know this may take a little bit of time, but I think today that we would honor God and honor these heroes of our country today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to live in America. But Lord, we know that our freedoms and the great privileges that we enjoy are because of heroes like this. And I pray that you would bless our time today as we honor these men and women. Give us safety today. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start over here, and we'll start on this side and work our way across the platform, and then you may be dismissed. Thank you so much.